I was tailored to snatch the mic swiftly like Ye did, and lay it down for the king like a slave bed. And they can kill us now, go get the yellow tape. Hey, put me 6 feet in the ground and watch a great escape. I promise ain't a six shooter that can keep me down. My God's so official, that's a technical foul. Was engineered in my mother's womb for God's glory. Plenty faith in the persecution is inventory. I've been spitting the faith, still exhibiting grace. Kicked out many a plate, just for sharing my faith. My belt tight, shoes laced, plus the press plate. My war helmet on, now I got my hair straight.
The battle's on, but the war is over when Jesus reigns.
And for his name, I would stand the pressure and take the pain. And if they drop us, this promise we'll take him to the grave. That tonight we may die, but the die is our gain.
Tell them bring their guns out, in my city up in flames.
The north and the far north in Alaska. And I say, praise the Lord. Amen. I believe there's a brother coming over from Japan even. Hallelujah, that I met a few weeks ago. God is good. God is good. Amen. You know, I just thank him because it's something to be able to do what I'm doing. I'm telling you, to have the mindset to do what I'm doing, it takes something because for God to commune with you is a tremendous blessing, as we're going to see. But amen, let's go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for being our Father. We thank you, Jesus, for making the pathway to the Father. We thank you, Holy Ghost, for keeping us with the Father. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace, that despite all that is going on in the world, we can be at peace and comfortable. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to fear life or death. Amen, because we're in your hands. We thank you for the love that you've shown us. We thank you, Father. We bless your name. We give you glory that you have chosen us out of this world, and we thank you for it right now. We could not have come out without you. We wouldn't know which way to go without you. Father God, we're asking right now that you bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that you bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, and the inheritance you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power you made available to them that submit and obey you. Father God, we're asking right now that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask you, bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people. I want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we're still on the subject of a covenant, the covenant of love with God. That's the best way that I interpret it. Because, you know, as it is written, it says, we love him because he first loved us. You know, as I was preparing and as I was communing with God over what to bring forth, you know, we're still on the subject, probably we'll conclude on the Abrahamic covenant. We went through the Adamic covenant, through the Noahic covenant, and the Abraham covenant is you could spend a year, and I know people that have spent much more time because I've been reading a lot of material on it, and but the point I want you to understand is this all exists because God loved you. It is not a yoke, I would say, of bondage, but it is a yoke of freedom. I mean, it takes, you know, they used to have this commercial that said, it takes the worry out of being close. It was a type of soap they used to sell. Well, I tell you, being in a covenant with God takes the worry out of being alive. You know, the other day somebody responded to me, you know, and we was reading about how good it is to be alive. And then they said, it's better than being 6 feet under. I'm like, well, that don't apply to me. They can put my body 6 feet under, but they cannot put me, because the only reason they'll put my body 6 feet under is because I have vacated the premises temporarily, and that ain't happening. Amen. As long as I walk upright, I get to ride with the rapture so I can beat Reverend Overall to the throne, because he probably think he's faster than me. But anyway, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But anyway, praise God. You know, I was contemplating how this began, you know, and sharing with God, asking him whether you want me to show. Because, again, like I say, that the covenant in and of itself, there's a lot to explain. There are historical, there are covenants between man and man, and covenant between man and God. And one that we all know of is the covenant between a man and a woman called marriage. You know, I know they try to make it something else, but they're not new. They're not new. They get television today. God blew up a place called Sodom and Gomorrah because they tried to do the same thing. When you stop operating totally and committed operating in the plan of God, you have no protection. against what comes. See, one of the things you have to understand, you know, I once asked God, how did the African Americans become slaves? And he told me, he took me right to Exodus chapter 20, verses 1, 2 through 4, thou you shall have no other God. And if you look at even lots of Africa today, when you choose, if you as an individual choose not to obey God, you lose your protection. And you read Deuteronomy chapter 28. It makes it clear as a bell what your life will be. It gives you 15 verses that will make your life blessed. But it gives you over 40 verses of curses that will come upon you if you disobey God. And the number one issue here, it links his people. That's the main point I'm trying to drive home. You know, I know people think they have the right. They have the right to decide and think that they are entitled to the provisions of God. That's common. But if that was the case, then Abraham would not have had to have been leave his home. You know, you go back to Genesis chapter 12 and 12:1, and God told him to get away from his family because of their culture. I mean, their culture was not God's culture. And if it did not matter and all roads led to heaven, God would not have done that. One, God is not 57 gods. He's one God. He's one omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God. And, you know, when I remember I was reading the original commentary back in the day, the research that had been done, and it talked about when at first I was shocked that he came from such a culture, because a lot of people who have not studied the Bible act as though they've been Hebrews since Adam, and there are people not trying to say they might have had the Hebrew language, but that, you know, you had to understand this is what you're seeing in the Word is the development of God's culture. Because next week when we go to the Mosaic Covenant, if we don't, we might start in it today, you'll find God lays out details. Now, you know, wherever you live, different countries have different laws that tells you what you can and cannot do. You know, there's some countries right now, today, you can't just blatantly be a Christian. You know, many of your Middle Eastern countries and African countries, you will be persecuted, if not killed, simply for being a Christian. And then they never asked God about that. They just made an assumption based on some man. You know, I want to read something, scripture the Lord gave me today. From Colossians. Now, I understand the Colossians were going through the same thing. Whenever you come to God, you're going to make a cultural change. And sometimes your family might not be in enlightening or as may not be in agreement with you. You know, we tend to gravitate to what we were raised up in. That's natural because your mother and father, you assume, have your best interests at heart. But when it comes to God, at some point in time, you're going to have to speak out to him yourself. You know, here in Colossians chapter 2, then because, again, you're making a cultural change from Judaism or being in the kingdom of Israel under the Old Testament covenant into Christianity, which is the next phase of Judaism. You know, my pastor once made a statement, said Jews don't need Christianity as a foundation, but Christianity needs Judaism as a foundation. Without it, they wouldn't exist, which is true. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 11, I believe verse 28, you find that the first time the term Christian was used was when some Gentiles named some Jews Christian because of who? Christ. Christ at work. Hallelujah. But anyway, this is Paul talking. He said, beware. I'm going to read this and let me give me a minute here. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Matter of fact, I'm going to start in verse 7. Because, I mean, relate to this. Because a discussion I was in earlier last week, and it was about the Old Testament versus the New Testament, and I'm the same thing. You would not have the New Testament without the Old Testament. You will find frequently they quoted scripture, and that's the other point why I'm going through this whole process of the covenants, because you're going to find that these covenants, with the exception of a few things, transition into to make up the new covenant, the New Testament, the new agreement between God and man. But what you get in the Old Testament is a picture of the depth and of the seriousness of a covenant, of a relationship with God, because this thing is eternal, okay? But understand, they were at the rudiments of life, okay? And we're still just in the second phase, okay? We're not at the end. The third phase began when Jesus himself comes back, okay? And here in Colossians, starting with verse 6 in the New King James Version, I'm starting to like this. As you have therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. You have, when you come to Christ, you got to think on a different level. Okay? You got to think on a different level. And that's why I know from my own experience, I got where I am by asking. I called out God. I called every name I had ever heard about God. And, you know, I didn't know. I did not know. I just knew that it was strange that on one side, where I grew up at, they were one, quote, denomination. They were Christian. On the other side, there was another Christian organization. In my home was two organizations. So I'm like, but, you know, how do you know which one is? Well, when I read the Bible, I found out there weren't any. There's no denomination in Christianity. I mean, it is. It's only denomination. And there are levels of active faith in Christianity, but there are no denominations. That stuff man made up because he got out of love. That's how that happened. Now, it's a book, Fox Book of Martyrs. If you read it, and there's something else, that was brought to my attention. When you read the Bible, read in Galatians, first read Galatians 5:22, get a list of the fruit of the Spirit. And as you're reading through the Old Testament, anywhere in the Bible, but particularly the Old Testament, because there's a lot of personal activity in the Old Testament. Watch for the manifestation of those fruits. See, this is how Paul, you have to know, that for those that don't know historically, this is what I was taught, is that Paul actually spent about 15 years in the desert with Jesus, okay? And he spent time because that was a major transition. And you're talking about God, and that's the one person you don't want to offend because he holds the key to eternity. And you want to get that right. And if you're going to be teaching it to other people, you want to get that right. You don't want to stand before God having taught them something that he don't agree with. You know, and I find it strange that I find with people when I ask them, did you talk to God about that? That should be an immediate yes. Because this is, that's what, matter of fact, I do want to read well, it's pretty much said the same thing. It says in Colossians 2:8, it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Now, that's a word they should have, they call it empty. Vain is empty, but vain, when you see the word vain, vanity, that means God ain't in it. That means they put God out, okay? They didn't even consult him. After the traditions of men. See, man try to reason God on man's level, but we're always supposed to seek to go to God's level because, again, look at what's going on I am talking. You either hearing this on the radio or seeing this on YouTube or somewhere on Facebook, and you're hearing my voice. You're watching my lips move. But do you know how, think about how much energy transitions for that to occur. I mean, my spirit has to send my brain trillions, that's probably a small number, trillions of signals in 250 millionth of a second, energizing each and every cell in my vocal cords specifically just for me to make vibrations that you can comprehend, and then your ear has to snatch them out of the air, translate them for you to hear. All that happened in 250 millions of a second. I mean, think about this. Man is a God-class being. You are a spirit. Okay, so what is going on? You can't reason without God. You can't grasp this without God. At some point in time, see, this is how, remember I told you that Abraham came from people called the Sumerians. They're still studying the Sumerians because it's obviously they were highly intellectual people. Why? Because we are intellectual people, okay? Duh. We came from God. God did not, see, I guess because we don't get to fly and do all the things that angels do, that we don't think that the spirit of man that God gave Adam has the capability that it has. That's because we have been limited in the range of usage, and for good reason. If you look around the world and look at how people treat each other, you know, you got people beating people for unnecessarily, people shooting at people. God cannot unleash the fullness of his power to people that don't respect him. Okay? Yeah, right. See, so like I said, he came from an intelligent culture. Like I said, they're amazed at their math skill, because math is the key to everything that we own right now. For you to be able to hear me through this equipment that I utilize, all that came about with mathematics. This and now with computers, we're going faster. The problem is we're also demonstrating we don't have the discipline. You know, I grew up without a house key. If you wasn't in the house, I'd come home from lunch, and I'd come home after school, and the door would be open. There wasn't no word. Didn't nobody go in there. You definitely didn't want to come up in the overall house. You might come up missing. But anyway, my old man didn't have a gun, but we had a sewer. Cut you up in pieces. Anyway, but the point of the matter is, it's now I got to deal with hackers. I didn't have to deal with hackers before. But why? Because there's no love. That's all that's about. There's no love. Everything, the crime rate, no love. And this is the key thing that God wants us to understand. Okay? Let's move on, because I got a lot to cover here. It's amazing. When you talk to God, I'm telling you, there is no bottom. That's another thing, reason why you have to talk to God. Where you think there's a bottom, it ain't. Like I say, the little bit that I'm sharing, man, please. I tell you, I have the information to Running for Christ Ministries, the pastor, get him to post some of his stuff on Abraham, and then when he did the through the Bible teaching on that. So you will understand, it's as deep as God. And for us to know this, now understand, Abraham, this is another thing I see coming to light. I have this statement that I say everybody in the Bible never had a Bible, but were held according to the standard of the Bible. When we get to Moses, we really going to get a look at that. That's really deep. Because, again, all this was already in man. God is, we have to understand what it is that we really have. It's far more. Most people focus, if I die, I'm going to heaven. Well, yeah, but you know what? Go read the Bible. There's a return. You'll come back here and spend 1,000 years on this earth. It gets deeper than that. You'll be able to travel the universe. You know, you won't need SpaceX to do it. I'm telling you, this stuff is deep. All right. So what we cover, we try to get the point here of the necessity of accepting the covenant. You have a choice not to. Everybody on the planet had a choice. Everybody had a choice. Believe me, they had a choice. You know, it's sad that God had this, isn't it? I believe in Isaiah chapter 5 that God had to expand hell because man kept clowning. He originally made, Jesus said, hell was made for Satan and his angels. It was not made for man, but man is a spirit. And he cannot be allowed in the universe if he disobeys God. All right. So we're still talking about the covenant. And last time we covered the issues of the aspects of the covenant in chapter 12, where God promised Abraham provisions, amen, which he did. And in Genesis chapter 13, it says that Abraham was very rich, amen, in gold and silver and cattle. Amen. You didn't have to worry about a stock market crash either, you know. But anyway, all right. Now, one thing, this statement here. Abraham, occasionally, and I'm going to say occasionally, I will ask God, but particularly when I come into new knowledge. When I started teaching training day, I had to be sure about that, because 1 John 3:2, which is the foundation of what I base this training day on, or the concept that we are in training to be God-class citizens in the kingdom of God, is based on 1 John 3:2, although it does not yet appear in the B section. When we see him talking about Jesus, we shall be as he is. And when every time you see glorious body, it is talking about a glorious body. It's not just talking about a body with zero fat. It is talking about a body that can do the things that Jesus did. All this was already in the plan. But again, you're talking about tremendous amount of power for eternity. And God is very selective and discriminatory about who's going to receive this. Amen. You know, hallelujah. We just recently had at our church, Reverend Jesse Duplantis, which is one of the few individuals that had the chance to actually go over there and visit. At times I want to go and at times I don't. That's an awesome challenge, because, you know, you can tell Christians, that's why Jesus did all the miracles, and them the same people that said crucify him. So seeing stuff doesn't change anything. But listen, anyway, that's what it was connected to, what Colossians 2:8, it says, beware lest any man spoil you through vain philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. This is not in the Bible. This is what I'm about to read now. This is what the Holy Spirit gave me. He said, in order for a man to spoil you through vain philosophy and vain deceit, this happens when you don't ask God what you are wrong about. Pride will prevent correction. Eternity is a long time to suffer when you find out you're wrong. Abraham let his pride, his friends, and family go in pursuit of God. And that's how it has to be. That's how it has to be. You have to love God above all. You know, and it happens. That's just the way it goes. Sometimes you may find, I've known people, they were the only one in their family that was saved. And it was not a fun, easy thing, because you love your family. But, you know, there's an order. They can't save you. They can't heal you, and they can't deliver you. They can participate in being a blessing, but they don't have the blessing. God got all that. And it's that way sometimes. Okay, but that, just bear that in mind. You have to, because particularly as I was saying earlier, you know, if I was raised up, case in point, my father, he became Catholic because that was the inroad to getting hired at Ford Motor Company. The priest could actually recommend you to the Ford family, which was weird because Henry Ford wasn't religious at all, but that had an inroad. You know, there was a time, big industry, believe it or not. Now, this is deep. The Catholic Church really don't believe in tithing. But, you know, big industry, if you'll notice, almost all your corporate leaders were Catholic. Why? Because they considered that liberal Christianity. Well, you know, I mean, but anyway. So they would give. And as a result of it, they would be blessed. Because there are others that knew the truth, and they also was blessed. But the point of the matter is that, okay, again, I would have to, once I read the Bible, I had to make some decisions about associations, regardless, you know. But unfortunately, I have a strong, I come from a family with a strong Christian background, you know, but I remember a particular discussion when I was transitioning, you know, when I, after I got delivered, I had to move out of where I was living because I was living with a woman and move in with my father till I could find a new location. And he noticed a change because, you know, now when I think back, you know, when I would come into the house when I was living with him before all that years back, and I would come in the house smelling the smoke, you know, and what he called the reapers. But anyway, so but then this transition came, and it came quick and hard, right? Anyway, I was reading the Bible, reading through it, and at that time, I was reading this in 2 Samuel where David had to hit up on Bathsheba, got her pregnant, had her husband killed, and tried to, you know, hide it. But that's why he had her husband killed. And at that time, where I was at was when David was pleading for the mercy of the child that had been born in an unholy affair. Anyway, my father looked at me, and he started a conversation. He said, and he just, because I was reading it every day, and in Catholicism, reading the Bible was a no-no. Even though it had been lifted in 1950, the word didn't get around. Because the some pope, I'm going to have to look that pope up that actually declared it a curse to read the Bible. Now, that's weird. The Bible says study to show yourself approved unto God. How you going to study? What you going to study? Anyway, but anyway. So, you know, we got into conversation, and then it led to, who do I pray to? I said, I pray to God. So I can't pray to God. I'm like, show me that in the Bible. You know, and he told me about David teaching that they had to pray to Mary and Saint Peter and all that. And I'm like, well, okay, I'll tell you what. Go read it in the Bible. Start in Matthew. Read through the Revelation. And every page you find that on, rip it out, and I will eat it in front of you. Okay, now, it would have been something if he had been able to do that, because he had a Catholic Bible, and it had 6 extra books that I hadn't read yet. Anyway, he read all the way through the Revelation, something a lot of Christians have never done, but I don't get that at all. And I ended up going back to church, you know, joining one of the local churches in the area, and became recommitted to Christ. Major change. We became closer than ever, you know. And it was something to be able to sit down and share and to see the joy in his face, understanding that God loved him. Because he was mad because of, he grew up in the racist South, so why would God allow that? God didn't allow that. People just didn't know how to use the power of God to stop that. That's what that was about. I said all that to say, you really need to know what you need to know, particularly now. You know, I'm convinced that Hurricane Ian, whatever way you want to call it, went through Florida because the saints down there don't know what a particular pastor down there that I know, that it, when it went across Florida, it had to go around him and go up the coast before it could hit land again. And even then, new folks up there, I can't think of this place, but I know it's some more folks that are like, no, you ain't bringing it up in here like that. You know, you're going to have to be more aware, more conscious of who you are in Christ for a whole lot of reasons. You know, there's an expectation. Now, I'm just following the Holy Ghost. I got pages of notes up here. I may be on this for a while. Anyway, there's an expectation of Christian persecution. It ain't coming near me. Better not show up with that foolishness. I got something for you. I got something for them. Amen. Amen. It's either going to be heavenly or earthly. But I got something for you. I read my Bible, and I check things out with God. You know, when I went into law enforcement, the first person I talked to was God. I'm like, okay, God, is this job acceptable to you? Because I had been offered a job with an alcohol company, and I turned it down simply because I know, you know, even though it's not, the Bible doesn't call it a sin to drink. It says, you know, stupid, but because it's toxic, and you don't know what they put in alcohol these days. But anyway, I just didn't like that aspect. It just didn't fit. So when you talk about launch, woman, you talk about using deadly force. But then the Holy Ghost spoke so clearly, man. He said, I still remember all them scriptures today. Bottom line, what did it say? Proverbs 3:5-7. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And see, this is how Abraham got on the path with God. And because he did that, God made, look what God did. He offered him, say, I'm going to make the whole world around you. I'm going to make your seed as numerous as the stars, as the sand of the sea. And we are not at that level yet. I heard somebody say only 880 billion people have been born since Adam. That ain't the sand of the sea. Our local beach got that much sand. See, you got to look at the fullness of this plan. All right. So maybe we can make another step here. All right. So Abraham then got to the place where he didn't put his pride aside, you know, and decided that he was going to find out because God showed up. Amen. So when Abraham, now, we want to look at the first instance of Abraham's having a faith failure. Mind you now, again, you're talking a new culture. And we're going to Genesis chapter 12, right after God then already. Now, God then made the promise, and he began this. And the reason I'm bringing this out is because it'll happen. You're not going to be no overnight success. And wherever you at, trust me, the level will go higher. The level will go higher. And again, where we are now, because again, you're going to have to believe God beyond the natural. Because I hear a lot of, when I watch the financial news a lot, and I watch financial prognosticators on YouTube, and I'm convinced that nothing really is going to happen till the rapture come. I'm really convinced of that. Because what they are saying number-wise and activity-wise is undoubtable. It's clear. We should be, the Dow Jones should be back where it was when Nixon was president, based on the facts, the truth. This government owes out $30 trillion, and that only occurred in two presidents. You know, had three presidents. You know, had it go from three presidents. You know, added like $25 trillion. That's crazy. But you know what? That's because God sent a word, said, you need to make some changes. And he reiterated the changes, and they did not do it. And God, listen, you can say, God, I tell you what, God will bless you while you're in America. But I really think that's a wasted phrase, God bless America, because to bless it, he has to correct it. And because of the resistance, particularly now, he had to break up some stuff. I'm telling you, he's going to have to break up some folks. My heart goes out because I'm doing all I can to stay out. What did Paul say? Knowing the terror of the Lord, therefore we persuade men. Listen, I heard the other day, and this particular man of God, he alleged he's not a prophet. But everything he said, going from the World Trade Center being attacked, he said it in 1996. He didn't call it the World Trade Center, but he identified it, and it came to pass. Everything that he has said over the history, and he's not the only one. God has got men and women out there. He's given them dreams and vision as he declared it, and they were, and it is coming to pass. So I'm staying out of it. Like I said, I'm going to be behind the bulldozer. I'm not going to be in front. All right, so God then told Abraham to get out of his country. So he does that. All right, and you get down to like verse 10. It says, and now there was a recession in the land. And they call it famine, but that's what it was. Okay, when growth stopped. And Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there for the recession was severe in the land. And it came to pass when he was entering Egypt that he said to Sarai, his wife, indeed, I know that you are a beautiful woman. Now, mind you, Sarah's got to be 65 right now. You know? Shoot. Anyway, Indeed, I know that you are a beautiful woman. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is the wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. So please say you are my sister, that it may be well with you. For time's sake, I'm going to cut through that. Sarah did. The Egyptians did. God stepped in. And it says in verse 17, now Pharaoh did take Abraham's wife, take Sarai innocently. It said, but the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. Okay, and then Pharaoh said, man, why you set me up like that? Listen, God made his appearance clear. And my point in that, remember I said, with a covenant, you have protection. Okay? I am restricted by the Holy Ghost on teaching the magnitude of what that is. But I am also would tell you, if I was you, I'd ask him. I know you can use deadly force, but there are other powers, spiritual powers that you can use. But you have to see God about it because it comes with a criterion and expectation. And it's better when he tell it to you. Anyway, but the point of the matter is, regardless, I do not expect Christian persecution. I expect it, but I really think if you're in alignment with God, you can call angels to stop it. I know that part. I can share that with you. You know, and don't, as I said, don't send your children to school without commanding angels to protect them. You have to do this on a daily basis. I ain't got time. I'm working up a teaching on angels based on the scripture that line up. Amen. But just as an FYI, you know, just as a quickie, Matthew 26:53 with Jesus when they was about to arrest him. I mean, you got to look at the details. He said, I can call 12, I can call, pray to my Father and have him send 12 legions of angels. All right? Listen, one angel, one warrior angel took out 186,000 men. All right? So in that, you know, that was back when the Assyrian army was challenging Israel, okay? But the point is, that was just one angel, not 12 legions. That's 12,000, that's 12 times 6,000, okay, angels. Now, he was not talking directly to just that captain of the army that came to arrest him. He was talking to Satan. He was letting him know, like, dude, you know, I can take you out. All right. I mean, look at that. He don't need to. Jesus never, one of the things I was taught, you analyze what Jesus said. I mean, pay attention to detail. You know, what do he need 12 legions for a handful of soldiers? No, he don't need 12 legions. You got to see this thing is bigger. Remember I said you have to look at this at a deeper level because this is what God is wanting to give full control of this over to us. And as you draw closer to him, he will reveal it to you. So don't send your kids. I said that to say, send your kids, command angels, and I particularly command by legions. You know, it's a debate over that or whether you need to specify numbers or not. Well, I'm looking at Jesus did. Jesus is the head. The body can do what the head does. Okay? If you do, Jesus said, I only say what the Father said, I only do what I see the Father do. If you're doing your best, and your best, because, you know, you ain't going to be perfect like him all the time, to do what God's saying. If you get out of order, get back in order. Just say, God, forgive me. Don't try to break it down, analyze. Just get right back in order, and everything is all right. It's like it never happened. That's how God do business. All right. Because that's going to be tantamount right now. Don't go to bed, command angels and camp around about your household. See, you know, and I know people, they plead the blood or draw bloodline around their house. Well, that bloodline, as we're going to see when we get to the new covenant, is a statement to the other world that this house is covered under the covenant with God, and what that represents is the angelic host. But what I'm concerned about is people do that and still meet with tragedy. So somewhere there has to be a misunderstanding because God's word always worked. But then with certain, see, there are times when God expect us to know more. Okay? Case in point, you know, the covenants. You went from the Adamic covenant. Adam didn't know what Abraham knew, and Noah didn't know what Adam knows. I mean, what Abraham knows. And Moses is going to get more detail. So at this time in history, God is going to demand that we know more because we have something they didn't have, and that's the Holy Spirit. And if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you really need to, you done killed all your excuses. You done killed all your excuses. See, there's different levels in that. There's, and I mean, this is something. This is, that's ministered by Jesus. That's another whole level of concept. So I'm trying to get you to understand something significant happened when you said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. You have a covenant, and we ain't nowhere near where I want to go. Well, I will, the Lord want to go. All right. So we were talking about Abraham's faith failing, okay? And you know, that happens because he's on a new journey. He come from a culture that had 57 gods to knowing the one, the true, and the living God. Notice this right after this. Abraham's 75 years old, so don't kick people out when they 70. You know, God is still working on them. If you still here, God's still working. I heard that the other day. If you still here, God's still working on you. Amen. And even if you die in Christ, he's still going to be working on you. All right. So, Abraham's faith failed now. What drives faith? Love. L-O-V-E, love, agape in the Greek. That's the driver of your faith. Anything, you know, one of the biggest helps for me to help me keep my life in alignment was love for God. Love is different. It's a lot easier than trying to remember all these little, as we going to look when we get into the Mosaic covenant, all the little laws that it, man, I can't remember none. Man, that's, listen, I've heard different numbers, but anyway, that's from anywhere from 1,000 to almost 2,000 commandments. A commandment is when God tell you to do something and don't give you an option. It's that simple. He'll do this and don't give you an option. All right, good one is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. That's a commandment. That's not an option. That ain't, it does not say if you have time. It does not say if you think about it. It does not say if you be willing. It does not say let. It says to pray. Matter of fact, I want to read that. I want you to read that because anything, I want new people. Listen, start. You want a prayer life with God. That's a constant communication with God. And he will bless you. He will bless you. He will bless you. It says, now this is Paul. It's titled, Pray for All Men. Therefore, I exhort first. Notice, it said, therefore. Okay, now you got to go back and read why it said, therefore. All right? It said, therefore, I exhort first that all supplications, that's getting serious in prayer, and prayers, intercessions and giving up things be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. And then it goes on. Read that in your own time. But the point of the matter is, that's the commandment. That's not optional. So every day you go without praying for somebody, including your president, you know, the governor, you know, it's challenging to do every day and remember. I take the easy way. That's why a lot of times I just call their name and pray in the Holy Ghost in tongues. I don't know. I'm taking advantage of what's easy. It's, remember, I don't know all their personal issues. I know there's some issues they need to know. But see, the point here is this is what God is establishing, a relationship with man so man could operate in power. And as man is submissive to him, God can reveal to him more of his power. You get that? That's what's going on. Because, see, God could have just as easily began the day of Pentecost with Abraham. Okay, but he didn't. He picked a specific time to which he doesn't. And there's a phrase in the Bible saying, in the fullness of time. When he does things, he does. But the point I'm trying to get you to understand is, God wants to build a picture of this relationship so that you won't think that it's just religion and that you need to do this in order to live happily ever after. Well, it's deeper than that. It is much deeper than that. All right? So we got past the part. So we're at the part where Abraham has a failure. What he good bottom line is, he didn't want to die because that's what they did back then. He understood, he understood men's cultures. I mean, they're killing him. You know, it's that way in some countries. Remember I told you earlier, in some countries you can go to if you're Christian, they can kill you. And that's, we talking 2022. So that demon's still running things. Of course, it won't be that easy in everybody's case if you know who you are in Christ. All right. Now, that was one time. And again, Galatians 5, verse 6 and B, and it says faith works by love. So it's a developing this concept of faith working by love, because that's the driving force behind it. All right? Now, there was another incident. A second incident. Now, you think that after one experience of God coming to rescue him in that situation where his life was under threat by Pharaoh of Egypt, you know, that he would be confident, you know. But this is a challenge in life. Again, you have to remember, we don't have mention. Remember in the background, if you haven't seen The Passion of the Christ, what are parts of the Passion of the Christ, even though the movie's not in English? You will see Satan moving in the background. And you know, this is what you have to remember that's going on here. We get a lot of, not a lot of conversation, but you get more revelation of Satan in the New Testament than you do in the Old Testament. There's very little mention of him. As a matter of fact, he roamed free back then. He was able to do stuff then that he could not do after the day of Pentecost. That all that stuff changed, which is why he provoked so much hatred toward the apostles, because as more people began to learn what Christ meant, see, they thought about Jesus as Christ being his last name, you know, but that ain't the case. It ain't. It's a power and authority in God, and even deeper than that. It says, and this is in Genesis chapter 20. It says, and Abram journeyed from there south and dwelt to Kadesh Shur and stayed at Gerar. It said, now Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, I like this, indeed you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, but she is a man's wife, and not only a man's wife, my man's wife. I mean, God got his way of making his presence known. Now, back then, you would see these frames, angel of the Lord, messenger of the Lord. That's what he was. He was equipped different than the average angel, than the average angels. Excuse me. That dude was a bad mama jamma, as we used to say. But listen, you don't want to get caught up in listen. Even now, I've known of incidents where people, if you ever had, get a chance, where you probably, if you ever get a chance to talk with a medical examiner, they can tell you some stories. They can tell you some stories of damage to people that don't fit the monochrome that they were taught to expect. And I'm convinced that the type of damages and, you know, skulls popped and things broken up that don't show the trauma of being hit by a car, I think they got tore up by an angel while they was trying to mess with one of God's people. I'm telling you, they exist. They are innumerable. And they be, and see, God worked this thing. If you don't, a lot of times if you don't praise, God going to have somebody praying. He gets me up every day between 2 and 5, somewhere between there. You know, sometimes it takes 2 to 5 for me to get out of bed. But he's doing this thing, man, I'm telling you. But the point here is, Abraham, this covenant provision of protection and provision. Back, I didn't get into it too deep, but it was a famine. Now, again, there's a development process, okay? Solomon had wrote Proverbs 3, 5, and 7 yet, where it says, in all your ways acknowledge him. So he went somewhere that he probably didn't, should not have gone, but doesn't matter. Because, you know, when Isaac was encountering the same situation, God told him to stay there. And he blessed him. Amen. And I see right now we're going to be on this next week, because I definitely cannot leave this, cannot leave Abraham without talking about the promised child and all the significant events around Isaac, because it is so Christ-like. And see, this is what, you know, I'm learning. It's amazing that what you're going to see a big outpouring of, or a lot of Jews coming to Christ, because they're learning, God is revealing more about Christ in the Old Testament. So you're going to start seeing a lot of them coming forth in Christ, because God is showing that he was there all alone. They said, I heard this Hebrew teacher said, there's no chapter in the Old Testament that Christ isn't in one way or form or fashion. You just have to be able to recognize it. And understand, God do everything with a reason. And don't, I just heard somebody just tell me about the persecution going on in the Jews and how people are hating on Jews in America. If you don't want your life cursed, don't let Satan trick you into that foolishness. They just people. They are just people. And God has ordered us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for them. Pray. You have the authority to pray over anybody. We pray over sinners. Why would you not want to pray over a man that wants to be an honorable person? Don't let Satan talk you into that stuff. Remember what it said. Go back and read. You don't want to find out what that curse is. Look right here. What happened to Abimelech? See? Matter of fact, it goes on later on. It said that all the women's wombs had sealed up. They closed up. I mean, nobody would get nothing. And this man was innocent, actually, because Abraham lied to him twice, second time. Don't act like we ain't never did that. So I'm saying this for new Christians, the new folk and the young folk and the struggling folk. You're in a big club. Everybody got issues. You win in some areas, trust me. Because you're growing in grace. You are growing. You always grow. When you get to one level, the challenges become greater and multiple at one time. And God expects you to stand up. That's why you have to equip yourself with the knowledge of the word. Don't worry about trying to memorize it. Holy Ghost will do that. You read it enough, you'll do that. But he will remember it. He will not forget. He will bring to your remembrance. I've had that happen so many times to me, where he brought to my remembrance whatsoever he has said unto me. He loves us like that. I'm telling you, I told you, God got an easy way of letting you know he's through with you. You know, he'll just take you up out the earth. So, all right, you come up in here. This is more fun down here. I know it don't seem like it. Saints don't realize till they get up there. You know, everybody want to go to heaven, they get up there. See, I'm going by the conversation of people that's been over there. We don't know, realize the privilege that we have down here. Oh, man, that's another whole issue. Bottom line is, now, the key here that you have to, now, this is, you know, people challenge my seven reasons for success, seven reasons for prayer failure. But they all do all seven. That's the default. They do all seven. But why? Because that's all there is. I didn't make that up. I didn't even want to talk about that, you know. But the point of the matter is you have a guide for where your life needs to be in alignment with God. God will tell you. I'm telling you, he'll bring it out to you. What we was reading earlier, Abraham had to recognize he was in error, or what he had been taught by the people he loved and trusted the most, his parents, that they were wrong. They were wrong. And as a result, God blessed the whole world through this man. Amen. You read in Matthew, you find his lineage mentioned directly connected to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, we made a little step. we getting somewhere. And I thank God. I thank God. I want to take that. I want to thank you all for praying for me. Amen. Because I can't do this alone. If I had to do this alone, Satan would take me out. But because of your prayers, I'm still here. Amen. He trying, but because of your prayers. And I really appreciate that them few seconds you declare blessing over my life. I really appreciate. I've been forgetting to do that. But I really appreciate that because for me to study, for me to do all this, to have the energy, to drive, to live day to day and commune with God, I need help. Because listen, Satan, I can only handle the 1,000 demons. You believe me, he sent more than that. Anytime God had to block my path to keep stuff from happening, I learned not to resist that because that means God trying to extend my time. And I just want to let y'all know I really appreciate y'all prayers. I really appreciate y'all prayers. Amen. But anyway, so maybe this is the first time you're hearing this, and hopefully it ain't after the rapture. But anyway, the one thing, the number one key that brings you into the provision of God is having a covenant with him, which is established through Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's a relationship where you have access to God's power. Okay, everything that you have was given to you by God. You came to this earth with nothing. You'll leave with nothing. But there's more for God to bless you with. And there's things he wants to share with you and teach you. There's things in you that he wants to reveal about you that are good things and blessed things. Amen. There are problems he wants to solve. He just wants to be in love with you. It's God's intent to have a relationship with everybody. But they have to choose to do it. And so if you do, just say this prayer right now. It says, Lord God, I believe that you are the only true God. I do not understand this completely, but I accept you at your word. And I believe that Jesus Christ is your son and that you sent him to die for our sins. And I acknowledge that I was born in sin and I ask forgiveness for my sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my life and save me now. And I thank you, Lord, for your offer of salvation. And I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, that I am saved, I am born again, and I am forgiven. Amen. I love how simple that is. I'm telling you, when we get to Moses, you're going to see how much God loves us. We got it on the easy end. We really, in our time in history, have it deep on the easy end. Amen. But anyway, just remember this. Prayer, amen, is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. Amen.
Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
ooh. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful.
Today.
I'm gonna be joyful. Ooh. I'm gonna be joyful. I got that feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your road. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
Ooh, gonna be joyful.
Today.
heart, down to my heart, down to my heart. I got the joy, joy down to my heart, down to my heart, down to my heart. I got the J-O-Y down to my heart, down to my heart, down to my heart. I got the joy, joy down to my heart.